Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. I'll be here until 11 o'clock this morning. And you're going to have to help me today. I had a program lined up with an open line until 10. Then I was going to chat with Lou Henson. Unfortunately, the coach is not feeling well today and will not be able to be on the show, so put that all together, and we have 2 hours of open line, just me and you. So think hard. What are some of the things that you want to talk about? Some of the things that maybe we've had on the air and you didn't get the word in. Maybe you saw it on the television. Some of the things happening in law enforcement that you wonder about. Anything at all goes on an open line. Now, tomorrow, former Champaign Mayor Dan McCollum will be my guest. Next week, which will be my last week on this program, have an all-star lineup. We'll do our regular Monday morning quarterback on Monday morning. Stegman, Justice Stegman, will be here on Tuesday. Jim Dye from the News Gazette on Wednesday. And Julia Reitz on Thursday. And then on Friday, I can't tell you how interesting I think this program is going to be. It's going to be special. And I have several guests and performers, and we got singers, and we've got a lot of people that are going to be on. We'll have some reminiscing a little bit, not too much of that, but maybe some of the play-by-play that that I did and Ed Bond has kept for us. And who knows what all will be on there, but that'll be next Friday the 22nd. Tomorrow, Friday, will be Dan McCollum. Well, in the news this morning, the best bid for the Landmark Hotel in Urbana apparently not big enough. And the hotel is still on the market. The Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District Board has okayed a 30% levy increase. That will go over well with people. I know at least a couple of callers that talk about the CU MTD every time I mention it, and they wonder about the numbers. They wonder who's in charge there, how are they doing all this, etc. Jim Dye wrote a very interesting story in the News Gazette this morning about a young guy from Champaign Central who works here at the Gazette. His name is Caleb Patton, who just got a perfect 36 on his ACT. He evidently had tried two or three times and got 35 and a 34 and another 35, and he just kept at it. He said, you know, one more point, and he got it done. Perfect. Did you ever look at those ACT? You go to a bookstore, and you can find kind of an outline of how to study for the ACT, and it's got some sample questions in there and those kinds of things. I did that not so long ago. I was just browsing through bookstores, as I frequently do, and there it was, the ACT. So I just opened it up. I had no plans to do anything other than kind of glance through it. And I had to keep glancing to find a question that I thought I could answer. I'm telling you, I don't know how anybody answers any of those questions, much less get a 36. Our congratulations to Caleb Patton. A suspect in a Monday night's shooting is being held in lieu of a $750,000 bond. The attack likely prompted by a scuffle a month ago, reports Mary Schenck in today's News Gazette. The Champaign Rotary Club's a Cannon Grant means a lot to a lot of people. We'll take a look at who's getting what. The Palestinians want the U.S. out and the U.N. in as mideator in the Mideast negotiations. Disney is going to acquire assets of 21st Century Fox. This is one of those they call a mega deal. And mega deal it is. The estimated cost, $52.4 billion. Kentucky lawmaker's apparent suicide stuns the state house down there, already beset by a sex scandal. And a watchdog reveals how ex-Mueller agent's anti-Trump texts came to light. And another one of those smelly airplanes. Yesterday, we reported a Southwest flight was diverted to the closest airport when a smell was detected in the cabin. Turns out it was the coffee maker causing the problem. Well, yesterday, after an American Airlines pilot began smelling fumes on a flight headed to Willard Airport, emergency personnel were put on alert, but the flight landed safely. None of the 18 passengers were injured. The plane went into the shop for the night to be checked out, and the event was described as very minor. Republicans have reached a deal, I think, on tax reform legislation. And one interesting note this morning that Matt Lauer, since he was fired, what do you think has happened to the Today Show? Well, the ratings have gone up, which begs the question, did viewers not like him after all? So those are just some of the things. That doesn't have to be all the things we talk about today. We have plenty of time to talk, but I'd like to hear from you, some of the things you've been waiting to talk to me about. And since I have very little time on this show left, the rest of this week and next, maybe some of those of you that have said to me many times, I listen to you a lot, but, and I said, will you ever call in? No. Well, I don't know why not. This is your time. Give me a call, something you've been thinking about for a real long time. It is 9:13. We'll take our first break here, and who's going to be first? Don't let me down today. Let's get some dialogue going. Let's don't have me do all the talking here, as you will hear beginning at 11 o'clock this morning and lasting throughout the day. Monologues, mostly. A few guests here and there. And I also picked up the Chicago Tribune this morning and turned to the sports pages, and they have a very interesting page there called The Land of Coaching. Several people, Shannon Ryan, who covers the Illini, is the beat writer for the Tribune and the Illini, Teddy Greenstein, Joel Boyd, and Tim Bannon all put this together. And what it is a list of the top, 30. The top 30 coaches in history in Illinois. Not just at the University of Illinois, but throughout Illinois. And they say we limited the list to Division I, with apologies to legends such as North Central's Al Karius, who has won 28 Division III national titles in cross country and track and field. Augustana's Bob Reed, 4 straight D3 football titles in the 1980s. And on and on and on. And some of the questions they ask themselves, should maintaining consistent excellence over a long period, think Lou Henson, be rewarded more than bringing a program out of the gutter, like Gary Barnett? How much weight should national titles carry? How does success amid the relative low pressure of non-revenue sports measure up against the high stakes of Big Ten football and men's basketball? One thing is clear, knowing the passion of college sports fans, many will find this list debatable. So I'll read the list to you and talk about it a little bit as we go along this morning. And maybe you will have some other ideas. Maybe you'll disagree, or maybe you will agree, or maybe you'll say, hey, how did you leave so-and-so out? We'll take our first break right here. The phone line's open, 356-9397. The Castle Heating and the Cooling text line is 351-5357. Back after this. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. This is an open line at 356-9397. The Castle Heating and the Cooling text line is 351-5357. Ben Zigerman writes in the News Gazette today, after barely moving for more than 2 days, the bids for the former Landmark Hotel jumped in 36 minutes from $1.45 million to $3.95 million, where it ended yesterday afternoon. But the owner's reserve price wasn't met, leaving the hotel still on the market. It didn't reach our reserve price, said XJ Yuan. He's the building's owner, who added that he's going to continue to try to sell the hotel. He says, if the price is right, we will sell it. If it's not right, we're not going to sell it. Well, he's got a big problem here, doesn't he? He bought the hotel for $600,000. That was in 2015. Put it up for sale with an asking price of $5.4 million. He closed the 128-room hotel in April of last year, 2016. Brandon Boys, Urbana's economic development manager, said, we knew that the owner has a high expectation for the sale. Ideally, what will happen is that the broker representing the property will reach out to the top bidders and have a conversation with them and see if they can negotiate a sale outside the framework of the auction. The broker is Steve Post with the California-based Amber Hotel Company. And the News Gazette was not able to reach him yesterday. Now, Diane Marlin has a different idea, one that really is appealing, but one that might be a real long shot. She said the city will continue to look for ideas to transform the 9 square blocks that includes the former hotel, Lincoln Square, and several public parking lots. Boyce said several potential buyers contacted the city about the property. So the mayor wants, not just the hotel, but the whole area, 9 square blocks, including the hotel, Lincoln Square, and several public parking lots. Let's see what Sarah has to say today. Good morning, Sarah.
Yes, good morning, Jim. Talking about the hotel made me think of something. I have been working with some archived articles and found one that discussed in 1976 the possibility of moving the University of Illinois World Heritage Museum into the hotel.
Oh, that was an idea. I didn't remember that. That's been a long time ago, but
yeah, they were going to also hook Busey Bank onto one side of the building, and perhaps rent out the basement for people to use for office space or whatever. But I had forgotten that and thought that was very interesting.
Well, it is very interesting. That was before I got here. I got here in 1980, so
okay.
I don't remember that part of it, but there have been several ideas about what to do with the building And some people have even said, you know, it's kind of in the same situation as the nursing home, you know, yeah. to get rid of it, tear it down. And I can remember, and you can too, probably, Sarah, that this was once the place to go. If you wanted to go to have a nice dinner, if you wanted to, when you got all dressed up and had a birthday or a special occasion, you wanted to take your spouse or a friend out to dinner, you went to the Urbana Lincoln, it was called at that time, the hotel. They had that big dining room with the big high back chairs and all that. It was a beautiful, beautiful place. The food was good, and you felt like you were in the big city when you went in there.
Yes, my parents had a tendency to do that. If they had a big occasion, that's where they would go, and that's where they would take me when I was young. So anyway, I just did not remember that proposal. And
I'm glad you brought that up. Is there any follow-up to it? Does it say why that didn't work or when they discarded that plan or anything like that?
I haven't gotten to that year yet. So. It may have been on down the line, but anyway.
Why are you doing this archival stuff?
I'm working with the Spurlock Museum on campus.
Oh, okay.
And, they're working with articles that concern the Spurlock Museum, and that was when it came up.
That was one of them, huh?
Yes.
Hey, appreciate your call, Sarah. Thanks for bringing that up. After Mr. Yuan bought the hotel. He renovated and reopened most of the rooms. But then he had to return $1 million in incentives to the city after not reopening the restaurant and conference center. There was a nice little restaurant in addition to the big dining room. There was a little restaurant there. I believe they called it the Library, if I remember that right. And it was a beautiful little place to go have lunch, and had just a very nice setting and very good food. It was another one of those places where if you had somebody in town that you really wanted to impress them, you would take them there. In June, Urbana rejected a plan to redevelop this hotel that some New Jersey-based firm wanted to do that, and officials said that this was going to cost the city about $15 million and put too much risk on the taxpayers. This hotel opened in 1923 as the Urbana Lincoln Hotel. It was bought in 1965 by Carson Peary Scott and Company. In the 1970s, it was sold to the Jumers Hotel chain, which sold it in 2001. And after that, the hotel cycled through various owners before Yuan bought it in 2010. So it has had quite a history. Jim is next. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim. You probably, I'll make this quick. The news is coming up. I just wanted to say, in Fox News played McConnell in 2010 and Schumer in 2017, and they were McConnell's was about the Obamacare. That, you know, the Republicans were crying about, you know, they're rushing this thing through and all this and that. So this is Schumer. Then the other day was the same way, but now it's who caused the nuclear option? People, Harry Reid, and they're crying about it now. But they were told back there a couple of years ago or so before Reid got out that they would rue the day. Now it only takes a simple majority to pass laws. And these Democrats cannot do anything but just put their tail between their legs and go home, because they're less risk. Mr. Obama said elections have consequences. So I don't know what they're crying about, but they are crying. So that's it, Jim.
Okay, well, thank you, Jim. We'll take one more call here before the news headlines. And this is Zoe. Hi, Zoe.
Well, good morning. I just called about the hotel thing. I have such fond memories of when it was Jumer's. And unfortunately, you just can't bring that back, that feeling of the heritage of the Jumer family. And the, you know, it just was so, I just am sad about it because, I mean, I guess I'm too sentimental, but.
No, I'm sad about it, too. I remember it as being the place. It was just the place to take people and the place to go when you, and it was so nice in there. It was pretty interesting that Marvin Hamlisch was in town one time. He was playing out at Parkland, and he played over at Assembly Hall as well. And he opened his concert at Parkland by, he played a little bit on the piano, and he said that he's staying over in this hotel and over in Urbana, and he said, the first thing I had to do was go out and buy some light bulbs. He said it was so dark in there. It did have that, it had that look to it, but that was part of the mystique as far as I was concerned.
Oh, yeah. I do have so many fond memories of that, and I was taken out one time by a gentleman, a friend of mine. He's passed away now, and he was in a conference I was having, and we went in there, and I'd never had, I said, oh, pheasant under glass, I've never tasted that. I wonder what that's like. He ordered it, and I know he ordered it so I could taste it, and I never forgot that. I was so touched by that, and he let me have a taste of it.
How was it?
It was nice, but I don't know that I would order it, but it was, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I didn't have enough to know, you know, how much I really, it was good.
Yeah, it was, they had great chefs there. The service was impeccable. You know, the waiters and the people were all dressed up and looked like a real snazzy place, which it was. Thank you, Zoe. Appreciate your remembering the hotel. I don't know if it'll ever be brought back like that. He did have all the rooms opened, 128 rooms, and he got them all open, but then he was not able to, I don't know if he ran out of money or what, wasn't able to get the dining room going or the conference center, and those, of course, are important to make the thing go. 9:31, Brian Barnard has the news headlines. We'll be back to the calls right after that. This is Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. Phone lines open at 356-9397. You can text me at 351-5357. And Benny is next. Hello, Benny.
Hi, Jim. How are you this morning?
I'm good. What's going on with you, Benny?
Well, I was going to call in because I heard Lou Henson was going to be on, and I heard he wasn't feeling well. That's just really too bad. And you know how much the love and respect I have for Lou Henson. But I also wanted to get a chance to talk to you before you got off the air for you know, when that comes up. I'm sad to hear that that's going to happen for you, too. But I do look forward to seeing you and your daughter Jane on the 25th, Jim.
Oh, good. Nice to talk to you, Benny. You still following the sports stuff, aren't you?
Oh, definitely. I'm just sorry I can't get in to talk to you and Lauren on Mondays. I've got a different job now, and I have to get the work done, and that is much more important, even though I miss talking to you and Lauren. But I can try to text you, you know, and I can still listen to you guys, so that I can still do that at least.
Okay, and we'll see you on Christmas Day.
Okay, look forward to it, my friend. Take care.
Thanks, Benny. He's referring there to the dinner that they have at the First Christian Church every Christmas Day for anyone who might feel alone or not have anything going, nobody to have dinner with, or there will be some people there that are simply not able to go out. They can't go out and afford a very nice dinner. There will be homeless people, but this is a dinner at the First Christian Church on Christmas Day that is for everybody. If you're going to be alone or you feel like you would like to be with the people on Christmas Day, call them up. I've got the number here someplace, but you can get the number at the church as well, I'm sure. Let's go to the phones for Rick. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Jim. You guys are talking about humors. I remember it always had a very elegant atmosphere about the interior. And some people may not find this story very funny, but years ago, if I remember correctly, on the west entrance to the building, they had a large mounted bear. And it was standing up on its hind legs, and of course was just huge, beautiful bear. And as you know, I was with Channel 3 for many years, and I recall walking through the newsroom one day, and they had all of the police and fire scanners going, and MedCat or whatever it was called then, the person came on the air and said the Jumer's bear has been stolen and is somewhere on Green Street. And one of the police officers out in a car called back in and said, trying not to laugh, you could tell by the tone, trying not to laugh, and said, which way was the bear last spotted going?
What had happened? Did somebody actually did steal him?
I think it was like a U of I student prank or a dare.
Well, that thing was about 8 or 10 feet tall.
I know. It was huge. And how in the world they ever got it out of that lobby or in a truck or a car, I have no idea. But I think it turned out to be a student prank of some sort. And I don't know if they ever got the bear back or not. Someone else may know. But I do remember hearing the officer out in the car trying not to laugh and saying, which way was the bear?
Which way was he going? Yeah.
Going?
Well, the bear was the first thing. You couldn't miss it when you came in from the west side. That's for sure. Which was basically the front door.
Yes.
He was right there.
Okay.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it. Sure. Eric is next. Hi, Eric.
Morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Now, it's too bad about the being late. I remember, about 2:03, my brother's sister and me had an anniversary party for my folks there. I mean, they had three food choices. It was all sit down. Some of us made rooms there. It was nice. Too bad they can't figure this thing out.
Yeah, I thought Mr. Yuan was going to get it done. He got the rooms open, but that was maybe his money ran out. I don't know.
Companion to that, I worked out with my boss. Then it sounds like they want to do away with Lincoln School altogether when you start talking about packaging the whole thing up a 9-block area. I remember when I was a little boy, they broke the ground for that place, and I always thought it was a neat place. It's like a square, you know.
It really
and
was.
The other thing I had was, on another topic, is so Sergio McLean gets a speeding ticket. I mean, what if he gets a jaywalking ticket? Is that going to help his reply process? Why is something that's innate, minor, that why does he have to become a media star with his personal life that way? I think it's pretty. I don't like something like that. He would deserve that type of notoriety for a speeding ticket. My goodness.
Okay. Well, thank you, Eric. appreciate your opinion. Chris is next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Jim. And with, by the way, definitely sorry to see the program coming to an end there. I've enjoyed it for years and enjoyed the conversations on occasionally calling in. So, you know, you missed this part of the landscape.
Well, thank you. I don't know what about the program coming to an end. It's me that's coming to an end, so we'll have to.
Well, I think you've pretty much been the program, I'd say, for quite a few years. So hopefully we'll continue in some way. But calling in about the hotel, the old tumors there, which indeed, like yourself, I remember that back in the day when the dining room was a place to go, and there was the library up there, which was a nice place for lunch, et cetera. And the old Black Bear Lounge downstairs, which was a real popular spot in town, too. And times have certainly changed since the 70s and 80s when that was the case. I think what we're seeing there is kind of some of the continued questions back when that was acquired back in, I think it was, 2010, is that part of the big question mark there was that the fellow who was buying it had no real track record of doing anything like that before, or a project of that size, et cetera. And it sounds like over the years, it is just one of those things that all the costs were underestimated, time was underestimated, it's taken them a lot longer to accomplish a lot less. And that's sometimes when you get with a deal that sounds too good to be true, it is, you know. And we're sort of seeing that even in this auction thing. It's a very strained way to try and sell a property like that. Auctions only get the price up when it's something desirable. When it's not desirable, all they get is relatively low bids like they were getting, you know. So it's, I think unless they put it as part of a large package, it's never really going to sell on its own. I mean, it is. If you look at that area there, that is not the jewel in the crown. I mean, that's the player to be named later. So it's not enhancing the value. It's got to go along with something else. So I like the thought that there are in some conversations with some larger developers, because I really think that's the way that's going to have to go.
Yeah, I think the Urbana mayor, Diane Marlin, is the one that's pushing that. That's her idea. She said, well, you know, why if we still have this hotel here and we're trying to do the right thing with it, why don't we just think out of the box, so to speak, and talk about the entire nine-block area there?
Yeah, well, when you think about the Health Alliance move and everything else, there's a lot more, in a sense, redevelopment to be done about old Lincoln Square there than just the Jumers part. So I think that's a good idea.
Hey, appreciate your call, sir. Thank you, Chris. We're at 356-9397 here at 947. So the owner bought this property for $600,000. And he, in 1915, put it up for sale, but the asking price was $5.4 million. So he bought it for $600,000, did a lot of work, obviously, got the 128-room hotel opened, and I believe he got all the rooms open. I don't know what kind of occupancy they had. It takes a lot of promotion to get something like that going right in downtown. And when they had the auction and hadn't worked out so far, and the hotel is still on the market. The board of the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District has approved a nearly 30% increase in its property tax levy for next year. It's not likely that the transit district will see that big and tax increase in property, or the big an increase in the property tax receipts in the spring, and the effect on individual taxpayers is expected to be minimal because of the overall increase in the district's assessed valuation. Reading now from Tom Kasich's story in the paper this morning, the MTD is asking for about $10.1 million in property tax revenue, up from $7.8 million this year. Included in next year's levy, however, are parcels that had been in Champaign's downtown tax increment of finance district and are no longer. Parts of three newly annexed areas in Urbana, Savoy, and Champaign, including the Carl at the Fields area and the Carl and Presence of Covenant hospitals that could come onto the tax rolls, and once a long-debated court case over tax exemptions is settled. Who knows when that will be. Also, yesterday, the board members learned that while ridership was down about 5% in October compared with last year, it has jumped in recent weeks with the winter shutdown of the MCOR street improvement project in the campus town area. MTD buses are now back on Green Street, and that has resulted in an average daily increase of approximately 5,000 riders, from about 52,000 a day to 57,000. Now, when you hear those numbers, you're going to say, every time I see one of these buses, there's nobody in it. And the managing director says this gets us closer to our normal. And in other news, the board approved a $1.26 million contract with McNutt Consulting Services for the purchase of 16 information kiosks to be placed along Wright, Green, and White Street in Campus Town as part of the project. I was leaving here yesterday. We're in the News Gazette building downtown. The three radio stations are here. And I had a meeting, and it was in this same area we're talking about, over at Health Alliance. Bunch of Health Alliance of people still working there, but they won't always be there because they're moving out to their big... was it Carl at the Fields? So yesterday I said, well, I'll just whip down to Green Street and mistake. Get on Springfield or I guess University, either one from here, and drive right down to where I was going to go. But no, I got on Green and got to one block that was blocked off, so I had to turn there. And then couple of one-way streets, and pretty soon I'm right in the middle of the campus. Finally, I just got onto a street that got me back to Springfield, and then I got over there. So, lived here for a real long time. It was really a stupid thing to do, but I made it, and in fact, I was on time for the meeting, which was a good thing I left early. 9:52, we take a break, coming right back. I was talking about this a little earlier when we were giving you the headlines. Practice makes perfect on the ACT. This is a column by Jim Dye in today's paper. And it has to do with Caleb Patton. Got a nice picture of him. Says is shown in his work environment at the News Gazette on a Tuesday. And here's the way this story goes. Near perfection wasn't good enough for Caleb Patton. He said, after I took the first ACT, I thought I was right there, so I said to myself, why not try for it? He's a senior at Champaign Central, and he got a 35. And he said, that's not good enough. Might as well try to get the perfect score. He started to take the test over and over again. Took the test three more times. Scored a 5 and then a 34. And he said, I was sick then, and finally he got the elusive 36. Good for him, because Patton said, I was going to stop retaking it after the September test, no matter what it was. I was fortunate I got the 36. Fortunate? Well, in this case, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. So our congratulations to Caleb. That's an amazing accomplishment. Steve is next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jim. The numbers on the MTD, you can always kind of massage the numbers to favor whatever your agenda is. I think that a good measure of the MTD would be passenger miles instead of number of passengers, because on campus you'll see students getting on at First Street and then they get off at Fourth Street, and I just wonder how many of the 57,000 passengers are students. If that's the case, why do they need all that money? Maybe they should get a little more money out of the U of I to shuffle the passengers around.
Well, I don't know how many of them are students, but I would guess a lot, and a lot of them are the same students. I mean, there are probably a lot of students that ride the bus several times a day, and each of those counts as a one time, as far as the ridership is concerned.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't know where this will end. The taxes for the MTD just go up and up and up. There doesn't seem to be any relief whatsoever.
Yeah, a 38% increase in the property tax levy for next year is what their board okayed. So I suppose that will be it. I don't know who's, I don't know who runs that board.
Yeah, well, I still think that if you gauge it by passenger miles, that, some real numbers might come out as far as MTD.
Hey, appreciate your call, Steve. I'm hitting the news, or I'd talk to you longer here. Indeed, CBS News coming up at the top of the hour. And then we'll be back after that here on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. We're at the 356-9397. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. We're pleased to have on the program Tom Ramage, the president out at Parkland. I'm doing my best to touch base in the days that I have remaining here at the radio station with all the people that have been good to me, have been good guests and interesting ones, and had a lot of fun talking with Tom over the years. And Tom, very nice to talk to you today. What's going on at the park? Is school out yet? Have you released those people for Christmas yet?
Well, I'm not going to let that introduction pass. I was thinking that it's been 10 years that I've been coming to talk to you on a pretty regular basis. I don't know that I've done anything for 10 years that regularly. I'm pretty excited about catching you before you turn off the power on Friday. It's going to be a poll. I don't know what to do. Who am I going to talk to on the radio?
Well, there'll be somebody in this chair. They'll be happy to talk to you. You're such a...
Yeah, but it won't be you.
Well, you're very kind.
Well, to answer your other question, it is indeed finals week, the end of finals week, so it's crunch time for our students, and we're about to finish up with finals, get all the grading done, get the grades posted, and wrap up the semester and gear up for the next one.
Do you get any time off yourself during that break?
I do. Well, the college closes on the 22nd for Christmas break, for the holiday break, and we're going to be back on January 2nd to start up again. The semester doesn't start for another, 2 weeks after that, but we're getting all the stuff ready. Faculty will be back shortly after that, and hopefully we'll have a good crop of students. Enrollment's looking pretty good.
How are things, I was going to ask you about the enrollments, how are things otherwise, the money situation and the state and all that? The last time we talked, it was, I wouldn't call it dismal, but you weren't too thrilled with the way things were going from a budget standpoint.
Right. Well, this year's been okay. The state obviously came through with a budget sort of a little bit late in the process, but still came through with some. I think it was a 90% budget compared to, what was that, 2015 was the last year we had sort of a normal budget process. So we were cut a bit, but certainly manageable. We're going to end this year in a pretty good situation. The problem is our friends, again, in Springfield and elsewhere are predicting more potential gridlock going into this next budget season. So, you know, the governor and legislature does their thing late spring, sometimes even into the summer. That process looks like it might be difficult again, people are predicting. So we're not holding our breath in terms of the state portion of our budget. But good news is, as we've continued to reduce our reliance on the state, and we'll still be okay, even if the state does nothing, which would be a shame, certainly. But the good news in all that is we're considering, at this point it's early, but we're considering not even raising tuition next year.
Wow.
That's
a new one, isn't it?
It is. Well, we raised it fairly significantly the year before, so we're trying to even that out a bit. And boy, holding the line on tuition for a year, even if it's a little bit painful, would certainly be good for students in the community.
If I'm a high school student and I'm thinking about going to college and I'm looking around and my counselors and my parents are helping me and so forth, isn't money one of the tuition the expenses, is that one of the guiding principles about where you would finally decide to go?
Well, it was for me and my parents back
in the
day.
Mine too, and I've got children now and grandchildren, and that's the thing. Well, we would like to go here and there, but boy, some out-of-state tuition and things like that are really, really awful. And I'd say, hey, why don't you go to Parkland? That's not very expensive there, and you got a great opportunity to move on, stay there a couple of years, and get in a lot of the work that is transferable to other places, and do that.
Most definitely. Well, I think student loan debt has now surpassed credit card debt in terms of the number one position, at least in the United States. That's a scary thing to have that much debt when you're, 20, 21, 22 years old, just starting out. And, you know, like you said, if you start at a community college, especially Parkland, that debt load is reduced significantly, probably more than 50 to maybe even 75% of what it would be if you started at especially an expensive private. But we're doing a couple of things for students actually just still in high school. New program we call ETA, or Early Transfer Academy. Let's students who are interested come to Parkland either in the morning or the afternoon before class starts, and they can earn up to 38 credit hours of general education courses that transfer anywhere in the state to any public university. I think almost all the privates. It's basically the first 2 years of a baccalaureate degree that you can do while you're still in high school. So we're just starting next fall, and interest has been huge. We're looking at starting a second full cohort of that group, so maybe we've struck a chord in the community here.
You know, I have a relative, she shall remain nameless, just graduated from a very big school in a state very close to here, and she got a job, and she's down in Texas now, and she's, it's a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
But she told me the other day that her student loans are taking up almost, half or so of her income right now, and she's still got other things to do, pay the mortgage and, eat and a few things like that. And she said, I don't know when I'll get this paid off.
it's a gigantic issue, and I think it's only going to get worse as, look at the state of Illinois, the options that colleges and universities have when the state is in the situation it is raise tuition. That's the only real option left, unless you shrink the institution. It's a catch-22. We certainly don't want to raise tuition, even a little bit. When we raise tuition at Parkland, it's usually in the $5 per credit hour area, which is fairly small. But boy, when you're talking some of those larger universities, 10% enrollment tuition increase is a big dollar amount. So yeah, weigh your options carefully. Give us a yell.
Will you pick up the phone? Can we just call you direct? I mean,
you sure can
on your cell phone.
Absolutely. Well, my cell phone's printed on my business card, so everybody uses it anyway. It's all good.
Well, to kind of wrap things up here, I wanted to see if there's anything else on your plate that we haven't talked about this morning or hadn't had the opportunity lately to talk about that there's really high on the priority list for Tom Ramage.
Well, I just maybe give a couple of plugs to some of our athletic teams. As you know, volleyball always does very well. 10 straight years they've been going to nationals. This year they finished fourth place, 50 wins and 3 losses for their season. Great, great coach, great students. We're primarily proud of volleyball, always have been. And I understand men's basketball is doing very well this year. They're 11-1 so far. They're ranked number 3 from the NJCAA poll, coaches poll, I guess it is. Athletics is doing great. Last summer, I think it was, we had 2 of our baseball players drafted to the majors, 20th and 24th round choices there. So Parkland Athletics continues to do very, very well. Great coaches, great athletic director, and it doesn't get much better than that.
Tom, we have a guy down here that's, I don't know if he's an athlete or not, but I wanted to mention him. He works here at the Dunes Gazette part-time. He's over at Champaign Central. And the guy took his ACT, and he got a 35. He said, well, that's not good enough. So he took it again and got a 34. Then he took it another time, got a 35. And he just kept at it, and he finally got a 36. Now, that's persistent, and that's to me, is amazing. I was telling the story earlier that I was at a bookstore the other day, and I picked up a kind of a guide to the ACT, how to study for it and all that. And I kept thumbing through there to try to find one question that I could answer. I mean, it is difficult stuff, and here this guy made a perfect score. I know there are some others that have done that, but I don't know how.
It takes quite a commitment to do that. That's quite an accomplishment. And interestingly enough, may not surprise you, but maybe your listeners, that we have quite a few students who score in the 30s in their ACT score that come to Parkland every single year. They do very well. They join that dual admissions program that we have with the University of Illinois and transfer there as juniors guaranteed into engineering or fine and applied arts or ag and do extraordinarily well. And as we already talked about, half the cost or more when they start at Parkland.
Well, Tom, thank you for being on this morning. If it's been 10 years, it's been a quick one as far as I'm concerned. And you were always accessible. Anytime I called out and needed to have you on for a newsy type of story, you were there. You just had you on a regular basis to kind of bring people up to date on Parkland that you never said no, so thanks.
Jim, I have the greatest respect for you. You're a class act. You always have been, and you always will be. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, Tom Ramage. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. We have an open line going until 11 at 356-9397. 3515357 is our Castle Heating and Cooling text line. In the Chicago Tribune this morning, I mentioned this earlier, that several people, including Shannon Ryan, who covers the Illini for the Tribune, they have picked the 30 greatest college coaches in Illinois history. What a big job that is. You think it's a tough job picking an all-area football team or something of that nature? I don't know. But my goodness, they have... this is really interesting. I'm going to get to this here in just a bit, and we'll have time to take your calls as well to see if you can think of anybody they left out or some that you disagree with. But it's not just the University of Illinois. It's everybody, and it's D1. They apologize for not including the other coaches who did well in some of the lower classifications. Alan is next. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Jim.
What's going on, Alan?
Not a whole lot. Pretty easy win last night. It wasn't much of a game, but that's the way that goes.
Well, that was I thought there were some really positive things happened there. We didn't foul as much. We didn't turn the ball over as much. The offensive rebounding was unbelievable. Of course, even though we had two of our better rebounders not in the game, we didn't play a very tall team, and they had some people out too. So you're right, it's hard to know, but one thing's for sure, when you shoot the ball and it goes in the hole, it looks like you're playing a lot better.
Oh, yeah. And I think he had a good game. Jordan had a good game. But they said it was a 29.5-point game going in. I said, nah, there's no way we're going to beat that team 30. We can't do that. Well, we did. I wanted to say, over the years, we've been very fortunate to have very good announcers, Larry Sturt, and then you, and then Brian Barnhart. I just feel blessed at 45, 50 years that we've had extremely good announcers, and you'll be missed.
Well, thank you, Alan. I'll miss it, too. Didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to, but that's all right. I've had a good journey here. It's been quite a nice trip, and thanks to a lot of loyal listeners like you, it's one of the unique programs any place, I think. Certainly a program that's been on the air for this long. Doing the same kind of thing, I don't know where you'd find another one in a local or smaller market.
Oh, you don't.
And
well, you can do what we do. You can call in now.
I probably won't do that, but I'll be very interested in listening, of course, because this is I like to know what people are thinking. I think. When people talk about what are you going to do and all this, I don't know for sure, but I think the key word, and I've mentioned this before, is the word curious. I think if you're not a little curious about what's going on in your town or with your people or in Springfield or in Washington or in North Korea, if you're not curious about life, I think it's pretty easy to roll up in a ball and disappear. So certainly don't plan to do that, whether I'm on the air or not.
We have the same issues down here that you guys have up there. Maybe not as intense, but we still have some too. So that's the way that goes.
Well, thank you, Alan, and hope you keep calling. I know you and. You and Tate have been talking together for a long time, too.
Yeah, we go at it every now and then. We don't always agree, but I love it that way.
Well, people need to have their own opinion, and we give you an opportunity here to express that opinion, and hopefully we're fair with the callers, whether we agree with them or other callers don't agree with them or whatever. We want people to have their say, and we want to be, as I say, I think fair is the right word. I hope that is correct in the way that I've done business here. Thank you, Alan.
Oh,
appreciate
yeah.
it very much. Indeed. We're going to take a break here for the news coming up at 10:30. Brian Barnhart will have the news headlines. Then I want to get into this the land of coaching. Brian, this would not be an easy thing to do, but Shannon Ryan and Teddy Greenstein and Joel Boyd and Tim Bannon, all from the Tribune, have come up with pictures and write-ups in today's paper about the 30 greatest college coaches in Illinois history.
Hmm.
Not just University of Illinois, but all over and all D1. They've apologized to all those great coaches. Somebody like a North Central's Al Karius, 28 Division III national titles in cross country and track. 28 national titles. Augustana's Bob Reed, four straight to D3 football titles, and so on. No, these are all D1, and after the news, I'm going to go over some of them. There's several Illinois coaches in there, all the way from number 3 all the way down to number 28.
Hmm.
And I'll keep people in suspense for for just a few more minutes. So the news headlines with Brian Barnhart. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. Phone lines open at 356-9397. Stan is next. Hi, Stan.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. Merry Christmas to you. A little early. I may not be able to call back because you know me. I don't call all that often. Anyway, two things I wanted to mention to you. The first thing is this tax cut that the Republicans are pushing through, and they've come to a compromise deal where the corporate tax rate is going to be reduced to 21%. And depending on the source you read, you find out that the average tax rate in the United States is either 21% or 18%, and with a 14% reduction in their tax liability, that's going to reduce their taxes quite nicely for the 1%ers because they're not doing away with any of the corporate deductions. So they still get their deductions. They get a huge tax cut, and so it goes.
All
the
right.
other thing I wanted to mention was the way that the Republicans can't win elections. They really just can't. If the votes are counted, Democrats almost always win.
What do you mean?
That has
they just elected a president. You remember that?
He didn't win a majority of the votes.
You said they can't win an election. He won the election.
He did not win a majority of the vote. He was almost 3 million votes short of a majority.
Okay, go on.
Okay. And when Obama wanted to elect or appoint Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court in January of his last year, Mitch McConnell would not allow a vote. And this year, he says he will not allow the newly elected Democrat to be sworn in before the end of the year. The Republicans are a party of the 1%ers. They do nothing for the people of this country. They're going to take 13 million people away from health care and increase health care premiums by at least 10% with this new tax bill. And millions of people will just flat out pay more in taxes if you make less than $1 million a year.
Okay. Well, thank you, Stan. Republicans have said yesterday they've reached a deal on their massive $1.5 trillion tax reform legislation that reconciles the separate bills passed by the House and the Senate. President Trump, looking forward to his first major legislative accomplishment, said the cynical voices that oppose tax cuts grow smaller and weaker, and the American people grow stronger. The legislation, which is still being finalized, would cut the top tax rate for the wealthy from 39.6% to 37%, would slash the corporate income tax from 35% to 21%, and allow homeowners to deduct interest only on the first $750,000 of a new mortgage. Several controversial provisions have been removed, including ones that would have eliminated the deduction for interest on student loans and for medical expenses. The deduction for state and local taxes is being reduced, allowing families to deduct only up to a total of $10,000 in property and income taxes. Additionally, the measure would also eliminate the Obamacare mandate requiring people to either have health insurance or pay a fine. The Democrats, who haven't been included in any substantive talks on the tax bill, have blasted the measure, saying it favors the rich and businesses over the middle class. The full details of the legislation will be unveiled by the end of this week. Republicans hope to vote on it in the House and Senate next week and get it to Trump before Christmas. So maybe Stan at the end of the week will have some other numbers to massage. And we go to James. Hi, James.
Hey, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Well, you guys brought back some good memories of the old Jumbers Castle Lodge.
Yeah, you remember that, huh?
I remember the bear. And I used to like going down to the, I think they called it the library, and they'd have a prime rib roast carved.
Yes, indeed. The library was actually a little, fairly small cafe, restaurant-type thing that had a lot of books in there. It really was, looked like a library. But the food was great. I remember going in there time after time for lunch.
Well, I was an employee for a brief time there as a dishwasher, and I got to see the catacombs in that building.
Ooh, I bet that was spooky.
Oh, it was interesting. Well, I'm going to let you go, but in regards to the last caller, if he needs an education, he needs to listen to your radio station from 11 to 2, Monday through Friday. He might learn something.
11 to 2, the teacher.
Rush Limbaugh.
Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And we go to Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
I am good. What's going on with you?
Well, I wanted to call and wish you a great retirement and thank you for your the radio show. And I know Brian will do a great job. I think you're absolutely right. It's always better to listen to people's opinions. And I think I've learned that over the years from listening to your show, which has allowed me to, you know, maybe learn to listen to other people and help me change the way I see things and get things accomplished. So I learned a lot of that listening to your show. So
I think you can learn a lot by listening, don't you, Jim?
That's right. I mean, if you really want to make change and get people to see your side of things, you can talk and you can listen to see what differences you have and maybe make that change.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you were on board, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. I hope they they keep the program intact. I don't have any reason. I hadn't heard any conversation about anything else. So it's been going on for a real long time. Thank you, Jim. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and I am indeed going to talk about these coaches that I've been. wanting to just mention to you. I'll do that right after this break. This is Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. Phone lines open at 356-9397. According to the Chicago Tribune, the number one coach in Illinois history is Ray Meyer, DePaul men's basketball coach from 42 to 84. He won 724 games, lost 354. But he took DePaul to the two Final Fours and posted a 37 winning seasons, 21 postseason berths, and he had players like Mark Aguirre, Terry Cummins. He made DePaul basketball in the late 1970s and early 80s the best show in town. Number two, the University of Chicago football coach Amos Alonzo Stagg. Number three, Bob Zupke, Illinois football, 1913-41. Zupke's record was 131-81 and 12 ties. It's no wonder the field at Memorial Stadium is named after Zupke. It's the Illini to four national championships, 14, 1919, 1923, 1927, seven Big Ten titles. Red Grange rose to fame in Champaign under Zupke's tutelage. Number five, Lou Henson, Illinois men's basketball, 75-96. His record, 423 wins, 224 losses. The orange jacket, the hair, all those wins, it's why Henson is a legend in Champaign. Took Illinois to 12 NCAA tournaments, advancing the Final Four in 1989 with the Flying Illini. He also took New Mexico State to the Final Four. I guess this is just having to do with what coaches have done in Illinois. Number seven is Harry Combs from Illinois, 1947-67. His record was 316 wins and 150 losses. The Monticello native's coaching career was rooted in Champaign. After a successful stint at Champaign High School, Combs led the Illini to three Big Ten titles in 49, 51, and 52 in his first five seasons. And the 52 Final Four season was the deepest run for an Illinois team until 1989. And going on down the list, we've got Forty Anderson, the men's basketball. At Bradley, Gary Barnett, a football coach at Northwestern. Mike Small is number 12 on the list. I'm glad they put people like Mike Small on there. And Craig Tiley, who is number 13. Small, coached from 2001 to the present, eight Big Ten titles. Northern teams are not supposed to thrive in golf, but Small is a whiz at identifying prospects, persuading them to accept the Midwestern weather and developing their short games to rival his. He has coached two NCAA individual champions, including European Tour star Thomas Peters, and the Illini have reached the national semifinals four of the last 5 years. Craig Tiley coached Illinois men's tennis, from 1993 to 2005. His record, 274-77. The South African native turned a struggling program into the gem of the athletic department. The Illini went 32-0, won the national title in 2003, and also captured the ITA National Indoor Championship in 2003 and 4. Illinois won 64 straight matches spanning those seasons and won nine Big Ten titles under Tiley. Tiley is now the CEO of Tennis Australia. And pretty soon now will be running the Australian Open. That kind of kicks off the new tennis season. Pat Fitzgerald is after that, Ara Parseghian. Bill Self is number 16. Coached the Illini from 2000 to 2003. His record was 78 wins, 24 losses. Illini fans long for the program to resemble how it looked under Self. Before bolting for Kansas, he took Illinois to an Elite Eight, another Sweet 16, and two Big Ten titles in three seasons, and self deserves credit for recruiting the players who took the Illini to the 2005 championship game under his successor, Bruce Weber. Then Bruce Weber is number 17, talks about his accomplishments at Southern Illinois and at men's basketball at Illinois. Weber took the Salukis to the program's first Sweet 16 in 2002, won two Missouri Valley Conference titles, started a run of six straight NCAA tournament appearances for SIU. At Illinois, he made six NCAA tournaments in nine seasons, including runs to the Sweet 16 and the national championship game in his first 2 years. And number 19 is Kevin Hambly. Hambly's successful teams drew some of the school's best crowds. He took the Illini women's volleyball team to six Sweet 16s, reached the 2011 national championship game. Illinois tried to keep him in Champaign, but he left in January of 2017. That's not right. Got the wrong date there. No, maybe that is right. January of this year is when he decided to go to Stanford. Maybe that is the right date. Anyway, he's in the Final Four. He's playing tonight. Final Four tonight in women's volleyball. Ray Elliott at number 20. After playing guard for the Illini under Bob Zupke, he went on to succeed Zupke as coach and later has served as an associate athletic director and the interim AD. He led Illinois to three Big Ten championships and two Rose Bowls between 1946 and 53. Jerry Kill is next. Charlie Pond from Illinois is number 22. In terms of national championships, Illinois gymnastics is the state's most successful Division I athletic program, with its 10 team titles, second to Penn State's 20. Four of those NCAA championships came under Pond, who also led the Illini to 11 Big Ten titles. Those were the days. And number 28 is Jimmy Collins, UIC men's basketball coach, 96 to 2010. Record was 218 and 208. Former Bulls first-round pick. Took over at UIC after 13 years as Lou Henson's right-hand man at Illinois. Went to three NCAA tournaments and one NIT with the Flames, posting three 20-win seasons from 2002 to 2004. So the Illini did pretty good in the top 30 with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 of the picks. A break here, back with a final word and take a couple of calls. And back to the phones we go for Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Good. We got about 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say thank you for all your service you did with the radio station and for Penny for your thoughts. I just wish you well, and I wanted to say thank you very much for all you've done.
Well, thank you, Brian, for being such a good listener and a good participant. I appreciate all the times that we've talked, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Jim. God bless you.
Thank you. You too. Our time is up this morning. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll have an open line at 9. Then we're going to visit with Dan McCollum. When's the last time you heard Dan McCollum on the air? You got a lot of things to say here on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana.